Hi, I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Each episode, comedians join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to the dulcet sounds of Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome to your life, Ben.
Thank you so much. Welcome to your life.
Thank you. So glad to be living it. Thank you, everybody. Sit down. Have a seat. Truly. Have a seat. Guys, thanks so much for being here. Today is Below Deck Day. You know, what a day. I mean,
what a day.
Just to watch. It's so fun to watch little toxic seeds grow. You know, Fraser has been planting little seeds of toxicity all season. And I have to hand it to him. It usually takes a season or two to watch these things grow on television, but his grow right away. I mean, he turned Paris into a monster within 5 minutes. That was the quickest growing seed of toxicity. It's a bloom. It's a full toxic bush now. So thank you, Fraze. Nice work.
Yeah. Also, in terms of if we're giving out awards, this is the, you guys don't realize this, you've tuned in to the 2024 Toxies Award Show, where we're handing out Toxies for best toxic behaviors. And we also have to give one to Ben for being able to pummel Sunny down into submission, where she has now really she's really allowed to put all the issues in their relationship on her own shoulders and reframe it as like her fault for being too invested. So congrats, Ben, on your toxic behavior for wearing down this poor lady. And you get an award. You get a Toxie.
I mean, truly well done. Really a lesson to all the fuckboys out there. If you really want to get along well with women while you're fucking them over, basically, like, anyway, I guess it's more of a lesson to us who have to deal with fuckboys. Anybody who has to deal with a fuckboy, the lesson to us, I guess, is just give them whatever they want and make no arguments and just apologize a lot as they fuck you over. And you'll feel great. Now, that said, I mean, it is much better when you just look at someone as a masturbatory meat puppet, which is what she's pretending to do. I don't really believe it because she's entering that phase where she's just like, oh, I'm so happy. Which, as we know that personality. That is a Shannon Bedore personality from Real Housewives of Orange County, which is now the second time that's come up this weekend in our recaps. Mm-hmm. And we'll see where that leads. I can guarantee it's not anywhere that's fun for Sunny. Okay.
Also, I have a surprise Toxie to hand out that I don't think you probably ever saw coming. I want to give out a surprise Toxie to the matriarch of the family that came on Below Deck. I think her name is Noreen. She gets a Toxie because you can tell that she is very domineering in a very pleasant and waspy way to her daughters. And to that, I say, congratulations. You get a Toxie for a gay icon Toxie award, because that's what we love. We love Madeline
stereotypes. Really? I thought she was like so fun loving and like,
that's how she presents. But I guarantee, like, at home, she's like, oh, Cassie, that's what you're going to wear tonight? Okay, well, I guess if you can live with it, I can live with it.
Cassie, I applaud your bravery in just going so overboard on your calories today, not even caring. Good for you.
You know, my daughters are really, they're like my best friends, because if I'm not their best friend, who will be? Am I right? Okay.
Best and only, am I right? I mean, it's too long of a nickname for your mom, but...
This woman seems so nice, and her daughters, they all seem like a very healthy family, but there was something about her that I was drawn to. You know that energy that like excites us gays, where we're like, oh my god, I feel like
an abusive,
I feel like
mother.
This is a strong female figure.
I stand her.
There was just something about it where I was like, ugh, I want to know more, because you know that she has like some sort of like very wide smile that hides like an evil interior in the best way.
Well, look at her husband walking around like, let me look at your engine. You know, she's murdering puppies in her mind all day long. All right. Well, the point is, the belabored point is, this is Below Deck Day. We're going to Europe this week for shows. Next week, we're in a comedy festival in London. I don't remember what it's called. London Comedy Festival.
It's called, no, it's a podcast festival called The Podcast Show, actually.
The Podcast Show. I'm an idiot and do not have my information up. And guess when I learn things? 5 minutes before, or when I show up there, you know, singing the theme to, you know, singing all the songs from Sweeney Todd, because I'm an ignorant fool and really know Sweeney Todd and Mary Poppins. Okay. So that's what you're getting with me, London. Good luck. So we're coming there next week for that podcast festival. It's going to be great. They're going to love me for this great endorsement. And then we're going to be in Dublin and Birmingham. So London sold out. We still have some tickets for Birmingham and the other place, Dublin. Cannot wait to see you guys. Please wear kilts because, you know, that's so hot to us. Do not listen to Barbie.
That's Scotland, but that's
I don't care. It's close enough. Regionally, it's close enough that you guys can borrow from some culture. I need to see kilts.
Okay. We are going to Sweden first. So again, kilts. We do require some kilts in Sweden.
We're going to Taylor Swift. I want to see kilts. Hey, London, you too, actually. Throw on some fucking kilts. Let's just all get some kilts going.
Everywhere kilts.
Yeah. And that's that. So today, here we are. We're excited. In other words, I sound like I'm blasé. I'm so excited. I keep waking up. For some reason, I wake up like, oh my God, where am I? Why don't I speak any language? But even English. Why don't I even know that? But the music that's playing in my head is that Beyonce song with Miley Cyrus. I'll be your shotgun rider. Ben, I see you. I see you shopping online, by the way, on your
I'm looking at the podcast show. I know my reading glasses betray me. No, I'm looking at the podcast show website to see who else is going to be here. And I can't find anything.
I thought you were shopping.
No, I'm not shopping. Obsessed
with suitcases right now. Okay, so Ben.
But I am listening. Notice that I was able to start singing along with your Beyonce and Miley Cyrus.
Shotgun rider till the end of time.
Till the end of time. Driving down the 405. I don't remember.
Yeah, down the 405. Who wants to drive down the 405? Get a closer freeway. That sounds so
far. By the way,
where do they live?
A proper shotgun friend will say, let's not take the 405. Let's take Laurel Canyon or something.
Laurel Canyon. No friend wants to, like, you can't shotgun ride on Laurel Canyon. You just sit in traffic all day. Anyway, we don't have one. We're going to be here 10 hours trying to just start this fucking recap. We're both Looney Tunes today. We're going to Europe. See you there. Okay, let's get on with Below Deck, shall we? Ben, you're lucky I'm talking to you. My dad would not approve of this. You're way too poor. So you're welcome. You're welcome for my company today.
Okay, I'm closing out the podcast show tab. I just wanted to see what other podcasts were going to be there. So Below Deck, welcome back to the Toxies. Okay, so we see palm trees. Palm trees up so high. A thought to start the podcast.
It's
the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that song. Sorry, I got really excited. That song. Palm trees up so high, sunlight in my eyes. Why are you staring at the sun, girl? Why are you surprised the palm trees are tall?
Palm trees, sunlight, staring at the sunlight. Ow! Ow, ow. The rest of the lyrics are just, ow, I can't see. Why do I see spots? I can't see your face. I'm traveling off the road.
I thought it was only during an eclipse you weren't supposed to stare at the sun. I wanna stare at the sun. Wanna blind myself tonight. What is Sheryl Crow even talking about, by the way? Have we ever really sat down with Sheryl Crow and said, you know, you have terrible ambitions.
Remember when Sheryl Crow came out, like her big invention was really long sleeves that touched the floor so that you could wipe.
Big invention.
You could use it as napkins. Remember when she's like, yes, I believe in conservation. So I invented sleeves that you also use as napkins. And people are like,
that's just called sleeves.
Literally stupid. Okay, so
every
we cut
day
to the
is a winding road. Has anyone ever checked on Sheryl Crow to make sure she's just not drunk? It's like, Sheryl, every day is just like a straight road. You're just drunk.
Sheryl, this is a go-kart.
Sheryl, you just crashed into a palm tree.
Palm trees up so high.
Sheryl, you're in a ball pit. Okay, so then we cut to Captain Carey, and he's like, oh, Patel, Sarkisi, Kindini, Koeti, which means that stupid singer blinded herself. So everyone's waking up, Barbie and Kyle are in the same bunk, and he's like, I don't want to leave. And she's like, get out of here. I have a dad. I don't know how he's going to feel about this. My dad hates mornings and he hates when I sleep with people. If I mix both of those things, I'm never getting another purse. Get out of my bed.
Yeah. And now it's time for a deck meeting. So there's going to be a family of three kids coming on, but they're like not kids. They're like teenagers / young adults, college age, just hot girls, basically. Like hot legal girls. And so now there's a stew meeting, and Fraser's like, all right, everyone, we're going to do a beach picnic. I want you to run that weird chef as well. Please make sure he feels bad about every garnish or lack thereof. Paris, you know what to do. Oil drips. That's right.
Yeah, he's so terrible. He's just his undermining. I mean, sowing those seeds, the toxic seeds. Here he goes. All right, go do the beach picnic. Don't forget, you're on the chef's ass all day long. And then what do you think is going to happen when Paris finally gets called out on this? He's just going to back off and act like Paris was a bad employee and he'll take care of it from now on because he's dependable. This fucking guy. I can't believe this guy's getting away with all of this. All right. So I'm mad. Sorry. Spoiler alert. Fraser is still like bungling this job. So Paris is like, well, am I supposed to hold his hand? And he goes, well, be responsible for fuck ups because it's Charter 8. We don't want to get in trouble. So everybody woos. And now it's time for provisions, which has always seemed like such a simple. Oh, no. Never mind. I can't say that.
Yes.
Sorry.
Pause that thought for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Then it's like time for provisions. So Barbie and Kyle are making out on the stairs. Sounds like they have provisioned some love. And Kyle's like, what have you done for me, for fuck's sake, woman? And then we see Ben and Dylan cleaning, and Ben's like, so there can be some pretty charter guests coming on board. And Dylan's like, oh, do you think if one of them kissed, then we would get in trouble? Do you think we could kiss any of them and not get in trouble? And Ben's like, well, Fraser did that on the last charter, so technically we should be okay. I'm like, are you already preparing to throw Fraser under the bus, like retroactively now?
Yes, and isn't it enough you get to bang your fucking employees, Ben, okay, without, like, leave the gay alone, okay? I know I'm attacking him, but I'm from over here. I can attack him. And also, the gays never get anything on this boat. I mean, Kyle never did, I guess, technically, but Kyle really tried very hard. You know, let Fraser pretend he has feelings for a second, okay?
Yeah.
He's the arc.
Yeah. So Barbie calls up her mom and she's like, mom, this has been like more suffering than fun. Kind of like the time we had to drink Fanta because we ran out of Diet Coke. But anyway, one of the guys here, he's like totally nothing. Like he's like nothing to do with who I am. Like not the sort of person I would normally ever go for. But like, I'm totally into him, mom.
And she's telling us, yeah, there's a world over there, and then there's this little world called the yacht life, and you're not thinking about the world over there, how we would fit in. Like, are my parents going to like him? Like, what's going to happen with this guy? Am I ever going to be able to afford a decent bag with this guy? Like, you have to think about that kind of thing, because normally I wouldn't be with that kind of guy. But, like, I am, so, like, I really have to think about that. Like, what am I going to do? What is my dad going to think? Like, I can't believe I'm with someone poor. It's, like, ridiculous. I mean, Barbie is, like, made for TV. They just sit her down, and she just goes through every issue she can possibly.
I know.
Do you want me to start a fight with that production assistant? Because I'll fucking do it right now. My dad doesn't mind me fighting. I'll do that right now. Do you need it for? Do you need film? Do we need footage or something? Because I'll fucking do it right now.
So then Kyle just comes on over and just pats her ass and he's like, hello there. And she's like, oh mom, this is the guy I was telling you about. I know he's attractive, but in a strange way. Like he'll be attractive in 20 years, but like not yet, but you can see it's gonna happen. Yeah, he's like very Adam Driver-ish, but nothing like it at the same time. You get what I'm talking about?
He's like an Adam Driver that stayed poor, am I right? Isn't that funny? Hey mom, do you know what I always tell Kyle? Like, I don't even think he should wear a tux if we get married. I think he should just like wear a cardboard sign that says like, we'll work for beer. You know what I mean? That would be funny. So anyway, Kyle, you're not helping things with your body language. Okay. Kyle comes in. He's rubbing her ass. Yes. She's on the phone with her mom. And then he kind of still keeps rubbing her ass. And then he moves his hands and instead lifts him over his head and gives her armpit. Like, what is that?
Yeah, it was like, and then I think he like rubs, Barbie's shoulder a little bit, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, she has concerns about like the PDA with her parents and yada, yada, yada. So I would have just like been just like a little bit more like, you know, I think if you're like meeting parents for the first time, you're just not so casual with your body language, I guess is what I'm saying, which is agreeing with you. It's like, you're just like a little bit more aware of how you're presenting yourself. And he's like, oh, how's it going over there? That's pretty good over here. Jacked one off this morning and I'm going to smoke my pipe later.
Hey there, I'm fucking your daughter. She's pretty good at it, gotta say. So Barbara's like, yeah, this is the homeless person probably that I was telling you about. And she's like, oh, he's so handsome. Wow, you look very good. And he's like, all right, well, bone you later, Barb. All right, gotta go. So he leaves, and then the mom's like, beautiful accent, fuck him now, you know, because the mom's like really free
sex therapist.
Yeah.
So now there's more cleaning, and Fraser and Captain are at the bar because, you know, Captain Carey's being like super meticulous since this is a yacht owning family. And so
he's meticulous, but I think he's a little performative. I'm going to go out and say it now. I think he's a great captain. I haven't really found anything to find fault in him this season. But when he walked up to the bar and lifted the rubber mats on the bar, I went, what's this? What's this for? And Fraser had to say, you put those on the bar to not stain the marble when you put glasses on. They're glass. They're very typical glass rubber things that go on the bar. I was confused. And then I thought, is he lying? Has he been lying about his resume this whole time? Is he like that Russian chef who pretended she knew what nachos were?
Is that Fraser or the captain lying?
The captain.
No, I mean, I don't think it's performative, because I feel like if it was performative, he would just be like sitting up in the wheelhouse the entire time. And then like all of a sudden is like very fussy for like one moment. But I think he's come through and he's done checks. He's been doing it all season where he's like, all right, we're going to do a lock three right now. So I feel like it's a genuine meticulousness. So I don't think it's performative, actually.
Well, no, I mean his whole, do you think he's really a captain, or do you think he like works at Chuck E. Cheese and he's just,
oh, he might work at
it.
Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. Oh, that one's
just faking it.
It's obvious he's never driven a boat. I mean,
I don't think he's even driven a boat because he doesn't know what bar mats are, which is weird. That's what I'm saying. I'm suspicious of the whole person.
Now that you say it that way, I'm realizing that like it's just been pure luck that he's been able to get the boat in and out of the dock so many times.
I think I was understating it at first. So so he's like, yeah, that suit don't stain the marble, stupid. And the captain's like, oh, that, by the way, that's Turkish for oh.
Got it. Thank you so much for teaching me that, Captain. Mm-hmm. So then he's checking the bathrooms, like, pass. And then he's like, these guests have their own yacht. They expect the best. We haven't had this high caliber client yet. The crew needs to step it up. No mistakes. So, and by the way, at this point, I'm thinking, oh, they have their own yacht. Like they have something that's in a slip somewhere in Monaco, you know, like some big ass yacht. But we find out later on, they have like a little yacht in Newport Beach. And like, that's not nothing. Obviously, those boats cost a lot. But like, that's basically the boat that they... That's like the boat that they went on Orange County last season, where Heather Dubrow goes, is there another floor? that makes me laugh. Every time I said, when Heather Dubrow came up, like, is there another floor upstairs? Is there another? No. And it's like that. It's like a little baby yacht. So I kind of don't feel like, maybe this is wrong. I hate to offend yacht owners out there, but I kind of feel like owners of little baby yachts are not going to be like, oh, well, they don't have the toilet paper folded in a little triangle in my guest room, you know, because I just don't see it. There's not enough space to be that meticulous on the little yacht, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's like getting onto like a luxury bus and being like, oh, I have a bicycle. They're like, okay. Could you get the fuck on the bus? Like, what do I care?
It's
not the same thing.
Exactly. It's almost, you know what it is? It's like if you've got like one of those tiny like BMWs, like a two-seater that's like really cute. So it's luxury. It's nice. But then you get into some big ass like luxury SUV and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, they drive a BMW. So they're going to be super demanding about what this SUV is. It's like, no, they just have like a little two-seater.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a hill that's really worth dying on, but it's a hill I'm enjoying climbing.
Well, who needs to die
up
on it? Just, you know, just, it's a hill to be a bitch on. That's what I'm saying.
It's a hill I'm being a bitch about. I love that, like, for some reason, there's a really nice family. I'm like,
be a bitch. It's better to be a bitch on a hill than it is on flat land. That's what I say.
I'm like, I don't know why. I was like, this perfectly nice family. I'm like, they're not going to be that meticulous because their yacht's not big enough.
Well, that's the problem with being rich, is that there's always something better, right? It's like, oh, we own a boat. Well, you're on a bigger boat, so shut up because your boat sucks. You know what I mean? And it's always like that. It's like you can finally get a car, and then you get a car that's maybe nicer than your last car, but then all you can see are the even nicer cars, you know? I mean, it's just that's the
grass
cycle.
Is always greener.
Yeah. On someone else's. These guests have their own yacht. Expect the best. We haven't had this high caliber client yet. The crew needs to step it up. No mistakes.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Reyes Sehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I'm Elena, an autopsy technician.
And I'm Ash, a hairstylist.
And we just love swapping stories about all of the morbid things that fascinate us.
And if you do too, join us on our podcast, Morbid. It's a safe space to let your weirdo flag fly.
On Morbid, we cover dark historical events, sinister science, unnerving paranormal events, and sordid high society murders.
We also dive deep into the most notorious crimes in history.
Our podcast is grounded in rigorous and painstaking research. We're also not afraid to read a bitch.
Yeah. We keep it weird because a dash of snark is necessary to get through grotesque true tales of demented minds.
So follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So guests in five, everybody, get ready. And then we see something I've been totally wondering about, is that shot in the beginning of Paris just staring and doing precision work over something, and the opening is like, and Paris, and it shows her and she's like, oh, I'm a stew, and she's like doing precision, looking like CSI, and I was like, wow, what is that? And it was her looking at champagne glasses. We saw the shot in this thing, and I was like, wow, full circle. The season is almost over. We're seeing the most important scenes coming to life.
All the pieces are falling into place, yeah. So then a girl comes down the deck, and then the chef is like, that looks like my girlfriend. I know it's not, though, because she still has a Chanel bag. And then, because all the people are walking forward, by the way, I should say. Those are the people. The guests are arriving, I should say. I don't know why I'm saying it this way. So,
the guys' tongues are like, hey, girls, it's gold. It's gold's coming down the dock. Like, they're so excited. They're all Mrs. Patmore. Daisy, it's women coming down the dock, Daisy. Hurry, get the rolling pin.
It's so funny they mentioned Mrs. Patmore, because I was definitely going to say that Kyle is giving the energy of the valet who marries whatever that daughter was, you know. The daughter, the valet, you know, they all of a sudden have a valet in the family. They're uneasy about it because they're like, it's a valet, but he married our wealthy daughter. That's what Kyle is.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So the guys are like, wah-hoo! Like the cartoon eyes are poking out. And I mean, I think everybody's very pretty, but it's also just like people who were let out of prison for the first time, you know? It's like an old Western where the guys just get out of the county jail and they go straight to the bordello, you know? And they're like, hey, what are we going to get here? And there's just a bunch of bored hookers.
Yeah.
Not really saying the daughters are like bored hookers. Never mind.
The daughters are like...
going with this. But
the daughters are like very lovely. They're very lovely and they're very pretty. But these guys are acting like they have been holed up in a cell for 20 years. And now it's their first time seeing fresh meat. And they're like, so it's like, all right, welcome everyone. Welcome hot people. Come on, go take a tour of hot, where hot people can rest around and get drinks. Come on, Fraser will take you on a tour. And it's like, oh, so I've heard you've done yachting before. And the dad's like, yeah, Newport Beach. Oh, how sad that you say Newport Beach and it means anything to a European. Okay, I love that for you.
Wow, a town named after the same amount of time you've had your money. New money on board. But I'm glad to have any, honestly.
We don't have Newports in Europe. They've all been around for at least 2,000 years. So enjoy.
We've got ports. Where I'm from.
Have you seen Malta? I believe its castles were built by dinosaurs, okay?
And he's giving him the tour, and he's like, this is the hot tub. You can see everything from there. And the dad's like, well, we're a family crew. Now, I don't know if that was creepy or not. I didn't get a creepy vibe. At first, I did. I had to rewatch it, because I was like, please don't be a creepy family. Please.
Yeah. I didn't feel like he said it in a creepy way, but it... To me, I was like, this is intention versus impact. And I was like, that is kind of a creepy thing to say, though.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell if he was like, hey, we're a family crew here, Fraser. Or if he was like, we're a family crew. Holy! Why am I acting like this today? I've got a... I'm cracked out. Oh, maybe it's because I'm on like my third coffee since 5:30 this morning. Anyway, point is... Fraser is like, this is what I do. Working for a family. They have money. They're bringing their children on board to celebrate being their children. They're not like other guests we've had this season. Cut to the king and queen. Cut to Jill going, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Ding dong, 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 ding dong. And then that lady, I forgot her name, it wasn't Trish, Barb, or something like that, when she was wasted and just fell out of it. Fell out of the hot tub and just banged her head on the side of it.
Yeah. That was one of the best things I've ever seen on this show. Just watching a person get what they deserve, you know?
Yeah, she was awful. So Fraser's like, yes, I'm finally happy to have a group on board that knows how to enjoy themselves politely. So then like some Succession music plays. It's like very serious and people are cleaning. And Kyle's like, oh, we're in trouble, baby. And he's like, yeah, thanks, mate. Oh, I know. I see a vagina and breasts. Don't really pay attention to anything else attached. And I know I'm going to have a happy for the rest of this trip.
And Ben really keeps trying to get Sunny mad, but she's not letting it work. I mean, I really like it. I mean, she's kind of it's like she's she's kind of learned, I don't want to say manipulating, but like she's learned his game and it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to give him what he wants and be angry. Now I'm going to like give toxic positivity. I don't know why I'm saying you know what I mean, right? But then I'm like, who's winning here? He's still winning. Like, you can change the attitude, but you're still giving him exactly what he wants. I don't know. It's making me crazy. I don't like it. So he's pushing it. And so she just goes, okay, guys, okay, enough. And Dylan's like, what happened? And she's like, okay. And then we see a clip of them being like, girls are coming. Do you think it's the rolling pin? And she's like, guys, you've said it like 20 times. And she goes, but I'm fine. And Ben's like, I know what I'm fine means. That means something's wrong, but I want you to guess what it is without me telling you. That's what I'm fine means. Women. Women. I have no idea what you're talking about. Women. Women's dictionary. It's what it is.
Why did I find... Look at me. How did I wind up in this situation again with women and the way they use words? It's wild. You know what? I think I've had too much. So then Sunny says, you know what? If I choose to ignore the red flags, that's on me. I'm like, you know what? I love that mentality. She's like, I'm ignoring it because I'm horny. I do think that's a healthy mentality, oddly enough. But then the problem is, I think that she's, how do I say it? I'm not worried about offending anyone. I'm just trying to make it so that way my point makes any sense. It's like, she's acting like she's ignoring the red flags and like, whatever, just going to have fun. But like, you aren't ignoring the red flag, which is that you can't just have fun with this person because you're going to get attached.
Well, maybe she can. Some people can do that, you know? I can. I mean, I think that's part of gay culture. I don't know. Madison can. I think that Madison, there are a lot of people who can do it. From what we've seen, she can't do it. But the way she's phrasing it, how she's just like recognizing it, like, okay, well, I was thinking this was a thing, but now it's not a thing and I can just have fun. Fine. I'll just fuck the guy. And if there's red flags, then it's on me. I mean, I really liked this. I was like, you go, girl. But at the same time, I'm like, if you can really do it, then you go, girl. But if you're really thinking maybe this is the way to get him to really like me, then no, don't do that. But if you can really just fuck him, then go for it. Because I hope that she knows that at the end of the day, she's only banging this guy because he's her only option on a boat. I hope that it's the same thing with the guys where she's only this excited about someone because she's on a boat. She's got boat colored glasses on because obviously she can do a zillion times better than this. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that she's acting like she's ignoring the red flags, whatever. But like, when she says like, I'm starting to see who Ben really is, but there's chemistry there. Like, there is no chemistry there. There's just proximity. And so the fact that she can't even recognize that is still gonna like lead her down the wrong path.
Well, proximity is chemistry sometimes. Because I would definitely fuck a homelier person that was closer to me than a hot person that was far from me. That's just how it is. So sometimes proximity is, sometimes it's just whatever's there. You know, you eat what you see. I always learned that in Weight Watchers as a kid. If you leave something on the counter, you're going to eat it, no matter what it is. If it's peanut M&Ms, you're going to eat that. If it's a banana, it's going to be that, you know?
If an onion?
A banana there. You know, if it's a penis, you're probably going to jump on that. So be careful what you have on your kitchen counters. Don't put Ben's on your kitchen counter.
Don't. Well, specifically that Ben.
Not all Ben's, obviously. I mean, I wouldn't put you on my this is a family show, Ben. Okay. We're a family.
We are a family. So it's time to leave. So leaving the dock and everything. And Ben is, Ben tells the crew to go check the umbrellas and stuff. And Kyle's like, hey, Dylan, go talk to him. So Dylan goes over and starts like flirting with the girls in whatever his weird way is. They're like, what's your name? He's like, Dylan. And he's like, hi. How are you enjoying it here on the STD? They're like, STD. St. David. They're like, oh.
Like, way to go. He said STD. That's funny. He said STD, sister. He said STD. Just like, it's like a slow wash of very uninterested laughter that ripples across the four daughters.
Hey, may I offer you any of you a towel so that we can wipe off some extra calories from your glasses?
So then Chef and Fraser are talking. Fraser goes into the galley and he's like, have you got lunch, stupid? And the chef's like, I'm going to just do one sushi roll, mate. And he's like, well, I'm going to show you what I've got for plates. Here are your choices, a rectangle or a square. Which would you prefer? And he's like, I don't want to play any of this, actually. He goes, well, I think it would be better plated. Well, fuck off. Get the fuck out of here. That's what you should get a rolling pin to the head. I'm just going to keep bringing up rolling pins. You should get a rolling pin to the head. Get out.
Yeah. He's like, well, I've got a lot to do. It's timing. Sorry. So then Fraser was like, anytime I offer to help, I feel like Chef Nick isn't working side by side, and I want it. I feel like a lot of fuck yous. Okay, you know what? Rejecting a rectangular plate is not rejecting you wholly as a person. He just was like, I don't want that plate. Let's just put it all. I want to make it as a big sushi display, which actually I think in this situation, I am fully with the chef, because I think getting like a little rectangle plate with six like hand or cut pieces on it feels a little sad in the context of a super yacht. I think if I saw a big mound of sushi in the middle of the table, I'd be like, ooh, luxury decadence.
Yeah. And isn't this for the beach picnic? This is for the beach picnic anyway, right? So yeah. So it's not crazy to do something like that. And so the chef's like, can I get a Red Bull? I guess trying to assert his power. So Fraser's like, you fucking goddamn it. I hate you. I hope you choke on it. Here's your Red Bull. He goes, I said two, mate. He's like, oh, God. Two, you'll pass out. God willing, motherfucker. Choke.
By the way, against the chef, if I went to the beach picnic and all I received were six pieces of sushi, I would be like, this is not enough. I need at least 12, if not 18.
You've got extremely,
I know,
thin, well manicured people from Newport.
You're right. You're right.
It's one piece like, sushi. You can tell he's been doing this 20 years, because he knows, you know.
So the anchor goes down. Great job, Sonny. And Paris and Fraser are like talking, and Paris asks if they'll be plating on the beach, and Fraser says, yes, there will be plating on the beach, which is fuckery.
He's such an underminer. I can't believe it. And he's also putting this girl right into the path of danger. It's not cool.
Yeah. So now the dad, you know, dad wants to have a dad time, dad moment. So he's like, can I get a tour of the boat? So captain's showing him around. He's like, yeah, come on over here. Here's the control room. Here's three levels. 1850 aside, horsepower, big boy, all that kind of good stuff. How many levels are on your boat? One. Oh, well, that's all right.
It's so sad. There's nothing to feel bad about, you know. Every man cries himself to sleep some nights. Just remember that, friend. Have you ever been chased by some holy pirates? So your life hasn't got much adventure, but you've got a nice family, mate. That's nice. Have you ever been stuck working on as a roofer while you waited for your wife to forgive you enough to see your daughter? No? All right. Well, you don't really have the same gratefulness that some of us have for what they've got in life, but good for you, mate. Good for
you. Hey, I'm sure your boat looks like a mega yacht in whatever fictional beach town you live in. Newport, never heard of it.
Have you ever heard of port? That's a good one.
Have you ever, you know, another question. Have you ever been chased by Somali pirates, but it turns out they were just people in a rowboat just wanting to sell you fish? Because that happens all the time to me. Actually, you know, that's like a big ploy with the pirates. I learned this because of North Sea TikTok, because North Sea TikTok started to then turn into like pirate TikTok. So a lot of times the pirates show up in little rowboats, and they pretend like they're just like merchants, because there'll be TikToks that'll be like, if you ever see a rowboat on the ocean, this is why a captain will freak out. A lot of times, one thing you may not know, a lot of times people pretend like they're just merchants trying to sell you fish, but in fact they're pirates. And you see these like little rowboats, and people pull out their machine guns and stuff. It's also wild to think about that, like a person on a little rowboat could take over an entire cruise ship. Food for thought.
Hey, man, you know, the strongest wins, the strongest personality wins, because a lot of times it's like people who rob you with a finger in their jacket, where they're like, I got a gun. And if they're believable, you're like, here's all my money, you know, and you pee on the floor a little bit, because that's what you've learned to do in movies, and you're not a wuss at all. And that's how it is. And I think on the little robots, they can overtake you, because they may have a tiny boat, but mentally they've got the dick that would float a Titanic's worth of people across an ocean.
Well, let me tell you something. If a pirate ever tried to come on my boat, I would say, Arctic Captain Ben Eam, which means I am the captain now.
If anybody ever tried to come on my boat, I'd be like, my dad does not like people coming on boats. I'm telling you that right now.
If anyone tried to come on my boat, I'd be like, good, I need to be in Laguna Beach anyway in like 5 minutes, so I'll just get off.
So Paris and Ben are talking. Oh wait, so the dad has just had the tour, right? So they go to the daughter's, and he's like, hey kids, we just went to the engine room, 30,000 gallons of fuel. And one of the daughters goes, wow dad, I can't even imagine how much fuel that is.
Here's a hint. It's 30,000 gallons worth.
I don't know why I thought it was so funny. It's just how she said it made me laugh so hard. Wow. I can't even. She's like, how do I make this sound different than the last time he was so fucking impressed with the gas tank? You know? Because you know it's happened 30 times.
It is wild, by the way. 30,000. That this boat has 30,000 gallons of fuel in it at any given moment. Like, that is. Oh.
Well, let's not forget to stop and talk about conservation for half an episode.
It did make me feel pretty bad for those oceans. I was like, wow, we are not doing right by this planet.
No.
We're like, why are the oceans so mad at us?
Yeah. Why are those orcas sinking yachts?
No shit, orcas, right?
No, I get it. I get why the orcas are doing that.
So, doesn't mean we approve of that, orcas. Change your behavior. Orcas,
violence is not the answer.
Orcas.
Okay.
Talking all right.
Use proper channels. And that's all a pun, because you guys are seafaring.
So now the guests head on the tender with Dylan for a beach day. And the captain is doing a deck check. Deck check with Sonny, or Dick Chick. He's doing a deck check with Dick Chick. And Sonny's like, yeah, I think Captain Carey's a little bit militant. He does not cut corners. And then we see him crawling all over the furniture. He's like, I don't like zippers on pillows showing. Listen, one thing I don't like seeing pillows enjoying is an adventure. Pillows are working, zippers down.
Hands up, zippers down. So
sorry, I got really bored after I left Top Chef. They wouldn't let me back in.
Hi, I'm Padma Lakshmi, and I'm your new guest on your yacht. We're all be having a comedy show. Okay, knock, knock. Who's there? Not you, because you're too poor. Who are you anyway? Okay, knock, knock. Who's here? People with the James Beard Award nomination. Is that any of you? No, sorry. I guess you'll never see the inside of my knock, knock house. Bye.
Oh, so picnic time. So Paris and Barbie are serving, and the chef is now heading over on his own tender, and he turns to Fraser and he goes, do I look all right? And Fraser's like, you look amazing, chef. Don't you worry. Get over there. You're about to look like a total asshole. I've already set Paris up to argue with you in front of guests. Enjoy yourself, handsome.
Chef, you look absolutely amazing. I'm sure Betty will be so horny when she sees you walk back into your rock house of yours.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So now the family is having, we get to see a peek into their lives. They're having a conversation on the beach. And one of the daughters is like, look at those palm trees. Did you know that more people die of falling coconuts than they do of sharks? And the mom goes, oh my God, well, who stands under a palm tree? And like, mom, lots of people do. We live in California.
Also, you're actively sitting under three palm trees right now. And she goes, our palm trees don't produce coconuts, sweetie. This is why she didn't get into Yale or community college. And I was like, why? Why don't they produce the coconuts?
Get into an actual coconut.
They rejected her just from Sam Goody. So the daughter's like, why? Why don't ours produce coconuts? And the other one goes, because they're hybrids. The coconuts are hybrids? No, the trees are hybrids. So you can drive a tree. Can the tree go into the carpool lane? No, it's not a hybrid car, you dummy.
When are they moving their line to plugins?
So well, why I have a question.
Go ahead.
My question is, why do sharks fall out of trees? No one said sharks fell out of trees. Well, you said more people die of falling coconuts than sharks. Well, the sharks aren't falling too.
No, we shoot people with sharks, honey. Jeez. Anyway, we don't want coconuts because coconuts kill so many people. Am I right, girls? And they're like, I'm not stupid. I was like, actually, your mom's hilarious. And I think we all need to celebrate her. Can I get some more mom love?
She is just, you know what? She's just trying to find the fastest path out of the conversation. I don't know. We don't have coconuts in Southern California because they'll just kill you. And so we've genetically modified our trees to be more safe. I don't know. Just shut up already. I can't wait to have sushi.
So then the chef arrives and sees like the little, you know, cocktail table they've set up for him. And he's like, oh, this is my fucking kitchen. Right, Fred. And so he's laughing and Paris goes,
So should I just put the food here on your table? And he's like, no, the doll will have it there, not there. So he starts moving it over and she says, no, no, not on the bar. All right, this is my bar area and I don't want raw food here.
And he's this isn't raw, it's cooked. She goes, oh, well, it's okay, cooked, but like, I still don't want, you know, like, cooked food. No, just put it over there. Put it by the dog that has the boner that's on the sand over there.
He's like, okay, whatever you want. She goes, thank you. And he's like, all right, now, you got to let people who micromanage think they're in charge. But I've been doing this a long time. Three stripes, one stripe. And he's about to lose it, but I have to say, Fraser has created a monster. The fact that we're siding with anybody over this chef was hired. He was literally cast to be the biggest pig on TV, and we're on his side. This is sad.
Yeah. Also, you can tell this is someone who's worked long enough that he's like, oh, here we go again. Another micromanaging underling. It's fine. I don't care enough. I'm just making sushi. I just, you know, you sort of like when you just know, like, honestly, this talk about hills that are not worth dying over is like where to put the plate of ingredients. So he's like, whatever, do what it takes to get to the next meal.
Yeah, he's saying that, but he's getting so mad. I mean, he is getting so red-faced and mad. So he's like, okay, she says, what are we having? He says, sushi and salad. And she says, well, are you going to play date? Because I don't want to have to walk around with the tray for 10 minutes asking people what they want over and over again and then calling me back to...
Wow. Well, that's your job, though. I hate to break it to you.
Oh my God.
You're literally a server. I mean,
and I love Paris. This is making me crazy. I feel like they're doing this on purpose just to fuck with the audience.
Well, I think the reason why she's sort of having this attitude right now is because Fraser said, like, be on top of this guy. Like, he's going to try to, like, take the easy way out, and you have to be on top of him. So I think she's like, I'm going to say this to make sure that he stays in line, because that's what her directive was. And he's like, well, you know, if I would have known that, I would have done it straight away, but it is what it is. So he plates it on the rectangle plates, by the way, with a little salad. And Paris says,
"We're fucking undermining."
Yeah. And so Paris is like, Fraser told me the whole plate on the beach. It's going to be plated. So that's what we're going to fucking do.
So he's like, I'm leaving. I got to get back. And so he serves the sushi and goes. And because she tells him she won't let him get the dessert ready. He has creme brulee. And she's like, no, we haven't even served mains yet. Like, what are you doing? I was like, oh my gosh. Well, he's obviously not been schooled yet. Like, she is at the end of this episode.
Right. But she's goes, like,
wow.
And she's like, no, actually, it's not that he's like, I have to get back. He's like, he starts working on the desserts, I guess, because he wants to get back. And she's like, well, we haven't done mines yet, so I'll hold back on desserts. And so he's like, whatever. If Paris wants to take over, she fucking can't. Because she even says, like, I can do this. Don't worry. Because he says, I've got to go back. And that's why I'm doing this now. She goes, well, you know, if it's just like torching the top of it, I can do that. So that's why he's like, you know what? If she wants to take over, she can. I don't want to have an argument in front of the guests.
Yeah. So then, and he's like, I don't have time for this fucking shit. So he leaves. And then she's just complaining. She's like, oh, he wants to do family soil. I'm sorry. Maybe the Sizzler.
I was surprised you knew about Sizzler. I didn't know Sizzler had like made it out of America.
Oh, I'm so proud of them. God, guys, we did it. So then Zandy calls her brother and has like a moment and like giving him shit for his mustache. And we find out about her. And she had to shelter her brother because her parents were always fighting. And so when they fought, they would like watch The Simpsons together and Friends. It was a lot of fighting.
And it was sad. It was really sad. By the way, speaking of Sizzler, et cetera, when I mentioned Sizzler, it made me think about how so many Sizzlers have closed. And I have to share some tragic news, which is that it came out today that Red Lobster is closing a huge number of their stores. They are, almost all of them are going away. And I just want to say, I'm really distraught about this.
We're going through that moment right now. You know, a lot of Applebee's closed, I heard. So that's a thing. Things are just, you know, good old standbys or buys.
They're not even stands anymore.
They're just buys. Goodbye.
I can't have Red Lobster go away. I cannot have
Then you need to support them more, Ben, because you go once every year and now they're dead. So, you know what?
Well, if they really opened one closer.
You should have fed it more.
They need to open one closer to Hollywood, California. Like, you have to go so far to find a Red Lobster. It's very frustrating.
Cheddar biscuits are outlawed in West Hollywood, sir.
So, I know.
Are you going to just change the entire law system? Okay.
I know. No. There used to be a Red Lobster on La Cienega and Wilshire. Fun fact.
And look what happened. It was firebombed because
it turned into a bank. The people of Beverly Hills were like, we are not going to have this here. So they turned it into a literal bank.
Put the bank in. I want cheddar dollars. I want cheddar Benjamins. That's what I want. So she does the okay. So she's doing Andy these creme brulee. Yes, Andy. Yeah. I mean, look, that's none of this was great. But when my parents fought, I would watch my parents, not the TV. I was like, this is like live theater. I love it. It's like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? You know. So the kids are talking. Okay, so one of the kids, this family is cracking me up. One of the kids goes, yeah, I wasn't really a fan of when we had Bear. And the dad goes, when did we have Bear? It's just Sweden, Dad.
Oh, Ronnie, I forgot to tell you. I made a reservation at an all-Bear restaurant this week for dinner for us.
Oh, is that a thing?
I love that. I can't tell if you're joking. Of course not. We're not going to a Bear restaurant. You're like, wait, are we eating Bear for dinner?
Well, I didn't know if they stirred bears or if it was like gay enough that they only cater to bears. You know, it's like big hairy eyes.
This family, they did not like Bear. The Yelp reviews are in and Bear got 2 stars. Swedish Bear got 2 stars from these girls.
So they ate Bear. That's what they're talking about. Wait, what did you mean?
What did you think it was?
I thought they were... I didn't know what it meant. I thought they were saying I wasn't a fan of when we had Bear, like meaning a pet. Like, remember that dog Bear? I didn't like it. And then the dad was like, when was that? And they were like, in Sweden, Dad. Like, maybe they lived in Sweden.
We had a Sweden. Remember when we had a
Bear?
Yeah. They ate Bear.
Oh. Bears are tough. Are they tough meat, do you think?
I imagine. I feel like Bear meat is not amazing. I'm sure it's fine. It's probably just
I haven't heard a lot about Bear meat.
You would think it would be... I feel like maybe the reason why bear is not like farmed a lot is like, or like we don't eat a lot of bears because it's probably so dangerous. Like,
that's terrifying. Who wants to eat that? Who wants to eat a horse?
Bears in captivity. You can keep cows in captivity.
We don't eat things that want to eat us back, right? Like, we don't eat sharks, but people eat sharks. I just mean they're not popular to eat, you know?
Do we eat things that want to eat us back? I'm sure there's some of the fish might want to eat us back. I'm sure some of the fish would bite us. Everything would bite us, really, to be honest.
Yeah, everybody hates us. So literally other humans. I mean, we're Americans, so literally everybody wants to bite us. Okay, so chickens. We're going to find out next week. Can't wait. Okay, so Paris is like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, creme brulees, bears, eating bears. Okay, so the chef returns to the boat, and the captain's like, feed five, foe, from, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Thought I was going to say something in Turkish, didn't you? I didn't go on the beach. Listen, here's what I did over here. I went up to this boat's equivalent of Somali pirates, pillows with their zippers up, and I said, get your fucking zippers down before I take out a big lighter, start you in fire, and throw you to the sharks. Got it?
So the chef is like, well, you know, I thought it was going to be a spread, but I got there in Paris, being Paris, you know, so I just let her do however she wanted it. So Kara's like, so Paris changed it. Yeah, she changed it. And at the end of the day, it's on me. If they complain, it's me. That's in the shit, not her. So anyway, if you're done, I feel like that was an ample casual throwing her under the bus, and I'm just going to take a dump in the head.
Well, he's got 3 stripes. If he comes to the beach, they need to adapt to him, not the other way around.
And so the chef's like, well, if there's bad feedback, it's, you know, it's because of her, right? Now, I wanted to get crack on for tonight. And he's like, oh, I get it. My brother in adventure. Oh, I get it. So cut to Barbie making drinks. And she goes, we need to put fizz in these drinks because the white girls love fizzy things.
Dylan goes, oh, white girls love fizz, baby. So then the chef is, he's like, well, these guests want fancy suppers. Guess what? They're going to get cured wahoo, grilled octopus, nice colors, maybe. I'll reach out to my friend, the dinosaur supplier, get a half rib of saber-toothed tiger. Pull out all the stops.
So then Sunny and Ben are flirting, and she's like, you're hot. And he goes, why am I hot? She goes, me? Why me? I'm just so happy. Look how happy I am with you flirting with everybody right in front of my face. Isn't this fun? Let's make out. So they make out. And he's like, yeah, Sonny and I from a week ago is totally different from the Sonny and I today. I think the space is working in our favor. I really like this girl. Could this be the magic formula? Yeah. She's letting you do whatever you fucking want to.
Yeah. The magic formula is that you fuck with her and you do something humiliating, like post how much you miss your ex on Instagram, make her feel crazy, and then you get some space, and then she comes crawling back. So the answer is, I guess that is the magic formula.
Well, listen, whatever. Whatever works for you two crazy kids. They go into the bathroom and bang. So then Paris and Fraser are talking. So she comes back and she's like, he didn't come to the beach, bitch. And he's like, was it that bad? Tell me, how did he do? I gave him 2 Red Bulls. Did he have a heart attack? I was praying for it this whole time.
And she goes, it was embarrassing. You know, he left and he wants us to go around and serve it. And all of a sudden we're doing it on plates. And then he left. So I had to do everything. Is this like some kind of sick joke? I'm like, you had to do everything because you said, you go back, I can prepare the desserts. You can go. And now she's like, oh, I had to do everything.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, God, no, it's not a joke, unfortunately. So now the captain and Fraser are having dinner together in the mess. And he's like, so was there some confusion on the beach today, how lunch was being presented? And he's like, issues. Nope, no dramas, no tragedies, and that's all that matters. All I really care about are the guests, the very, very wealthy family of guests. That's all I care about. If they're happy, I'm happy. And he's like, Fraser's being coy with me. He's not telling me everything. I'm a little concerned.
Or as they say in Turkey, biraz endişeliyim. Concerned, a little concerned. So he's like, Fraser's like, you know, if they're happy, I'm happy. It's like, all right, well, we're going to deal with this later. So now everyone's getting ready for dinner and they're setting up a casino night and everything. And the fish is coming out and everything. Everything looks like really good. And the mom is like, so, Captain, today, lunch on the beach, we had 4 meats. What an amazing chef. Also, my daughter narrowly escaped death when a coconut almost hit her on her head. And we're like, next time, tree, try better next time. I'm just joking, sweetie.
It was a hybrid coconut.
No, honey, the trees are hybrids. Just be quiet, please. So he's plating the grilled octopus and he does like a purple smear of something. I don't know what it was,
yeah,
but it's very pretty. And I think he's doing it to try and please Fraser in fucking Paris because he's like making it colorful. And I don't know. He seems to be making some kind of effort here. And I mean, I think his food has all looked decent, actually, but yeah, it looks really pretty. So Paris and Fraser are looking at it like, can you believe this disgusting, non-artful food? And Paris goes, definitely needs a drizzle. Oh, God, I can't. I'm like about to freak out for him. I want to hate the chef, not you. Please stop messing with my brain.
He's like, I don't have the time or the patience right now for Paris's shit. And it feels like she's trying to take control of the galley. It's not her job. She's like, do a little green drizzle for me. Can we have a little drizzle, please? Come on, a little extra drizzle, please. A little drizzle, a little daughtery in the sauce, a little bit of drizzle. So he's like, if the garnish doesn't make sense with the dish, it's going to look weird. I don't tell you how to scrub toilets at the end of the day. Stick to that. So
now you remember when this happened on Below Deck Down Under, when Boston Chef told Aisha this, pretty Philly much Chef, the same yeah. thing. I want Philly Chef. I wanted to murder him. In this case, I'm like, okay, well, I'm kind of on your side this time. And I hate that.
I am more on his side, but I still don't love when chefs say this. Like, I don't tell you how to scrub toilets because I do think it's actually so rude to do it, even when you're in the right. But he does do the drizzle.
He's being pushed. Yeah. And he's not saying it to her. You know what I mean? The other chef was saying it to Aisha. He was like, your job is shit. Where this guy is like trying to be nice to her face. And then saying it all behind her back on the camera to stay professional, I guess. Now, we've already seen him be a total pig with her last week when he was like, my third favorite stew. Or like, don't be careful with that mayonnaise. You don't want to get fat or whatever that
right,
was.
Don't so. Blame. Don't You only have yourself to blame.
That's just a reminder, basically, that even terrible people can be right occasionally. And you don't have to get a foam finger to celebrate them. You know what I mean?
A broken clock is right twice a day. Well, here's the thing is this, is that he ultimately does the green drizzle and it looks fine. Honestly, I really didn't. I was ready to be like, oh, it looks so garish. It actually looks nice. And then I'm like, really? They were really arguing over this. Like, it would have looked fine without it. It looked fine with it. I couldn't even tell if I liked it more or less, but I just couldn't believe they were having a whole fight over it ultimately.
Well, it's just the overstepping and the constant trying to undermine him for no reason and fucking with him, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you... It's not really about the green. It's that the stuff never needed the garnish in the first place. It's all from Fraser's crazy little head because he needs to assert some fucking power. It's just weird.
Yeah. I think that, like, Nick is just sort of the guy that, like, in Fraser's past, Fraser's been tormented by guys like Nick, or he just resents people like Nick. So as soon as he sees Nick, he profiles him in a certain category and is already, like, walls are up. Walls are up. So
I think he's just that kind of guy who needs conflict constantly at work to make him feel good, like he's good at his job. If he's just that kind of person who's always complaining about how terrible other people are at their job because it makes him, it elevates him in some way. He's done it with an employee. He's never had a moment on this show where he hasn't been talking like this about somebody else. It's always somebody else sucks at their job and they're not listening to me and they would be so much better if they just listened to me. It's a big fault if you're going to be a leader. He's not great at it, but I kind of do, you know, just because I'm shitting on him constantly, I do kind of like in a way that we're watching someone get trained because Captain Carey's pretty good at training him. Like, he tells him flat out what he's missing. And so maybe he'll get really good at it eventually, you know, but right now.
Maybe, but next season I demand Faye to come back.
No, let's back for next season.
Already?
Yeah.
Why can we not get Faye again? Why is it so
hard? I know baby. She's out of
here. I know, but like the baby's going to be like 1.5. So basically, like, it's independent.
You can squeegee now. This baby's learned to squeegee.
Babies, if you're a baby, put your hair up, please. So...
I will only come back on this boat if I can have my model photographer come with me. His name is Baby. Baby,
before you go on service, baby, you need to have a full face of makeup and your hair set. Thank you. It's called slivers.
Baby, would it kill you to just have a little eyeliner on?
Captain Carey, I'd be pleased to be your first stew again, but you'll have to understand that my baby will have to be on board as well. Thank you.
Huge opportunity missed. I need Faye in my life constantly. Like, I even love following her on Facebook.
She's like, have a baby.
Like, I love it.
No, I think that, like, Faye and Kate Chastain can babysit for each other. So Faye, like, Kate can, like, Faye just drops off her baby with Kate. Kate's got two babies now to take care of. And then Faye does her thing. And then Faye can take care of Kate's baby while Kate goes off on. I mean, look, Kate was able to do the traitors. Faye can do Below Deck. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. I'm with you.
So whoever was babysitting for Kate, babysit for Faye.
Whoever needs to hear this, listen up. Babies don't know you, okay? Think of your first memory. I was at least 2 or 3. I was sitting on an ironing board. My mom was chain smoking and talking on a corded orange phone or a corded yellow phone. I remember that. Sitting on an ironing board. That's my first memory. Do you think that that's like a memory of great mothering? No, okay? Who sits their child on a fucking ironing board? Like, seriously. But you know what? That was, I couldn't even resent her for it because I was only like 2 or 3. I mean, she could have done anything. She could have had me in a fucking washing machine before then and I wouldn't know the difference. Go live your life, Bravo stars. Okay. Drop that baby in the washing machine. Put the baby on an ironing board and go do a season. We need you back, Faye.
Strap the baby to a sea bob. Let it have fun out there on the waves while you go and serve mojitos. That's it.
Totally.
Bring back Faye.
Hello there. This is a 2-part recap. Okay. This is the end of part 1. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part 2.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We forever love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.